It is said that in the wake of nuclear Armageddon, only the cockroaches would survive. In 2002, a company was formed by a man named Jareth Jarrett. This company would go on to outlast WCW, the XFL, the WBF, Pluto as a planet, and MySpace. While the quality and networks may vary, they were invulnerable. North South Connection Podcast Network presents TNA Never Dies. Now, cross the line with your hosts, Aaron, Jenny, and JT.
Yes, North South Connection Podcast Network. Welcome back to TNA Never Dies. Jenny, you there?
I'm here.
Yes.
Are you there?
I am there. Yes. JT, you there?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we are here to suffer for you for TNA early pay-per-views. We're on episode 3 tonight. You guys doing okay?
It's a sliding scale, but yeah.
Yeah. It was a rough day. A lot of COVID anxiety today.
Do you have the virus?
Not that I'm aware of, but my son is convinced that we all have it and we're all going to die and that he can't sit in a public place normally. It was just not fun. Right.
It probably doesn't help that, like, you live where a governor is likely lying about everything. You know, that probably doesn't help his nerves.
Yeah, that makes me feel a lot better. I try to read him encouraging things, but then he just brushes me off and, you know, it's whatever. That's why I do this, so I don't have to think about that for a little bit.
You know what you got to do? You got to tell him about scarier diseases so he stops worrying about COVID.
Yes.
Like what? Like syphilis?
Sure. Well, then you'd have to get in some reasons. I was thinking more like Ebola, AIDS. AIDS is always good because,
right.
You know, you can go a bunch of different directions with it. I'm sure there's – in 90, there was the Hunter virus. Whatever happened to the Hunter virus?
I'd argue he's running TNA right now.
Oh, back to TNA. Before we start,
did I say TNA? I meant NXT.
I was gonna say.
Oh, that is a virus. I have a bit of an airing. I would like to do a bit of an airing of the grievances to start, if that's okay with you guys.
Yeah, I've heard that. So
I was listening.
That used to be our gimmick on Noel's Bar.
I know. About it. And then we just stopped that. And the nice moment. Remember we talked about nice things.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The win of the day or whatever.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
We had no direction for the show.
No. Yeah, that's right. It was truly no holds barred.
That's true.
So I'm listening to Wrestling Warzone, and, you know, you guys are plugging all the shows. And what I hear is that a quote from Jenny about how talking to Aaron is like a dog talking.
Well,
what the
I meant it in a very good way. Like, you know, very like energetic and genuine, fun conversation that can go in any direction at any time. Like it's just very,
but later I also heard them say that you said I was a fucking asshole.
No, I did not.
Yeah. They went out of their way to say
no.
that. Yeah.
No.
And I believe you called me a homophobe also.
No, I did not. I would never.
Well,
I know you differently.
I think you gotta go back and listen to that tape because there's some slander going on, and I don't know if it's from you or from the hosts of Wrestling Warzone, which you could also find on the North South Connection podcast network. But I
listened to that show and I didn't hear that at all, sir.
Well, so. You gotta listen closer. So here we are, TNA, episode 3. All right. Mm-hmm. How are we feeling going into this thing?
Hyped.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I thought the first 2 weeks of TNA pay-per-views were exciting. There was a lot going on. It was fresh feeling. I thought they did a good job of presentation. Obviously, not everything clicked. We know that. But, you know, if you look at it overall, based even on our grades and overall thoughts, I would say they both were worth buying, and that's a success for them out of the gate.
Yeah, I mean, what else are you going to do on a Wednesday night anyway?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Not a thing.
Record No Holds Barred.
No. You know, maybe. Maybe we'll get to a couple this year. So episode 3 from Nashville, Tennessee, July 3rd, 2002, which was my father's 60th birthday. And they and they celebrated him with this show tonight. Anybody remember where they were July 3rd, 2002?
No idea.
I was probably working and then sitting at home watching wrestling.
I was on stage in Toronto as Cobra Commander. Yeah. So.
You have a video of that? Or
oh, for sure. For sure. For okay. sure. Yeah. Again, it's not PC anymore. So.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I might have been at a party, actually. My buddy used to always do a 4th of July party, pool party. So there's a chance I was there.
On the 3rd?
Yeah, like a 4th of July-ish. You know what I mean? Not everything when you celebrate 4th of July is on.
Yeah, you got a whole week at least.
A week?
Yeah, mm-hmm. sure.
Fuck you guys.
This is America, buddy.
Your pride is too big, Americans. So we open the show, and what I want to – one thing we haven't talked about is there's a statue of two guys fucking in the intro.
What?
Well, if you watch the intro of the show, there's a statue of two men having sex.
You think so?
Yeah, and there's a camera kind of panning around it. Hmm. I can't believe this hasn't been on our radar yet.
Your radar. I don't think anyone else would notice it.
Well, I mean, I definitely would, but I think
you didn't.
I'm going back. I'm fixing to go back.
Maybe I'm not the homophobe.
There is. Yes, you're right.
Or
but
maybe
I
you
think
are.
They're wrestling. They're wrestling, babe. They're not.
No, they're fucking. They're fucking, all right? That's a fucking going on.
That is a choice, though.
I feel bad so far for anyone who's tuned in to hear about TNA.
I know.
We're getting there. We're getting there.
Sorry.
So the camera pans right away to a guy in overalls. Now, I don't know why. I don't know if this is the demographic they're going after. And
let's see.
I think this is the first show that Don West is dressed more loudly than Ed Ferrara.
Yes. Yes.
He's in the red pinstripe suit. Like a full red suit. But Ferrara's a mess. He's got an orange shirt and a scarf. And I feel weird tracking these outfits, but like...
No, you have to.
We have to, because they're such a weird part of the show. Because it's so... The commentary booth is so disjointed with Mike Tenay in the tux and then these two fucking weirdos beside him. Tafera's got so much gear. I've never seen anyone with so much gear on. He's got two necklaces, rings everywhere. He's got those yellow shades. Jenny, was there ever a time when someone with yellow shades was attractive?
Maybe in the early 2000s. Yeah. That was a thing.
I guess that feels like an NSYNC kind of thing, right? Did one of them wear the yellow dress?
Yeah. A boy man thing.
Yeah, Ferrara's outfit's rough. And that is a rough wardrobe across the board.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's what does this orange shirt need? It definitely needs a fucking scarf.
To go with already the dreads and the glasses.
Do you think he just went to, Savers or something and just picked out a bunch of shit from a bin on the way over?
Probably.
You know what the problem with Ferrari is? Is that, I mean, I'm sure there's lots of problems, but,
yes, many.
But if he wasn't dressed and looked like such a douchebag, I think he'd actually be fine on this show.
Yeah, he does get better as it goes.
His commentary is not horrible, and he's the voice of reason in the Rainbow Express skits usually.
And it shouldn't be horrible, because I'm pretty sure I think he was helping. I mean, he's obviously a big – known as being a creative member, right, or a creative mind.
Yeah.
He worked with Vince Russo during the boom and went to WCW with Vince Russo. So I'm assuming he's doing some creative stuff here. So I would think he would be pretty dialed in on commentary as far as pushing the storylines and characters around.
Yeah, it's just he looks like such a buffoon and, clearly a sex criminal.
I like how we're totally dismissing the red pinstripe suit on Don West. I mean,
because he's a clown. That's a clown. Yeah. If your daughter, if I had a daughter and she came home with Don West, I'd be like, this is weird. But if she came home with that Ferrara, I'd probably get a shotgun out.
Yeah, I'd be very concerned that they're headed to Iowa for the fucking Juggalo convention or whatever.
So we start the show with NWA President Jim Wilson coming out, and he gets booed out of the building.
By the way, he does not look good.
No.
Sweaty, bloated. He looks like John Candy, 1995 or something, or Chris Farley in his last week's Elvis on the toilet. That's the level of what we're talking about.
It's the precipice of death.
Yeah, he's all sweating and just looks red in the face. Like, he just does not look healthy at all when he comes out here.
No, and they give him no respect. Like, they boo him mercilessly, yeah. Which is hilarious. Because we've never seen him before. Like, why are they booing?
I call him Daddy Jim in my notes. So.
Well, Daddy Jim says, he gets on the mic and says, he didn't make the first show, which to me blows the whole live aspect of it. It's been two shows.
Right. I didn't make that first recording.
Yeah.
By the way, we are live. I just want to call it too. We're at the Nashville, Tennessee Memorial Auditorium. So we're not in Huntsville this week. We're in the Nashville.
Yeah, Tennessee. Daddy Jim presents Tanae with a trophy. For welcoming him to the family. Number one, why is an announcer getting a trophy as opposed to like something other? Well, number two, shouldn't if he's giving a trophy to the announcer, shouldn't the guy on the trophy be in a suit instead of like a guy in a wrestling pose?
It's an odd thing to A, give a trophy to welcome someone to a family, and yeah, B, right. Why wouldn't Jackie Fargo, one of the other representatives, Bill Behrens, I guess, was really kind of the office guy here in TNA. Like, why wouldn't one of them receive it on their behalf?
And it's really fun watching Tanae try to go from his headset to the microphone that he's holding in his hand and then also cradling the trophy. He doesn't really know what to do or where to look.
Well, it's too big. It's too big for him. Like, it's awful. Tanae clearly doesn't know what to do with his hands.
But it sets up a great spot later on. So
I would like to make a pact with the three of you right now that when our first child gets married, we present their spouse with a trophy.
Okay. Deal.
Deal. Oh, man. Perfect. So
I was waiting for Ben Brown to show up and destroy it, but we don't get that.
Well, something's going to happen. You don't see a trophy for no reason.
Oh, I guess technically Bret Hart. I'm off of my references tonight. I guess Bret Hart is actually the one that's good.
Tighten up.
What's happening, man? You having a stroke over there? Bad news. Bad news. Nikolai Volkov. So Daddy Jim announces that Omori is the big surprise, and this gets about the same reaction as the gobbledygooker, which is none.
None.
They're like, who? He's like, yeah, I found a surprise. And he's also kind of mumbling. Like, it's hard to hear him. The whole thing is a mess.
Yeah,
it is.
He looks like in Dumb and Dumber when the guy eats the burger and he's like, he needs the heart pill and he's about to fucking die. Like, sweating. Like, that's what it looks like. That's what he's about to do. He's about to fall down in a heart attack. And he's like, oh, this is a surprise in Japan. And Omari is going to take on the NWA champion next week.
Yeah. An impoverished Conrad Thompson.
Right.
Just beat red. Stuffed into that.
Yeah, it's a mess. How do we feel about this opening the show?
I think it's a bit of a miss, like episode one was. I don't know what their obsession is right now with like having these little weird segments, but the crowd is hot. Like, get going and do this later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess on this one there was kind of a reason, but it's not like that happens right away. Like, they could have done this.
Is the trophy the reason?
No, but they had to establish Jim Wilson as being here, what his role is, and all that.
Right, yeah. Cause
but they could have done it after the first segment and been fine, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that could have worked. So America's Most Wanted hits the ring. They're not called America's Most Wanted yet, though. It's James Storm and Chris Harris. The duster is way too big for James Storm. It's like a child putting on his dad's duster. And are they adding now gun sounds to Storm's guns?
It sounded like it.
It did.
And they're facing the dicks, right? The Johnsons.
You gotta be careful because there was a team later in WWE known as the Dicks. So right. We can't have the confusion here. This is the Johnsons, not the Dicks.
That's the feud we never got. The classic feud we never got.
Dicks versus the Johnsons.
Dicks and Johnsons.
I would argue that the classic feud could also be the Johnsons versus the Vaginas.
Yeah, but that's a really old feud. It's been going on for generations. Like the Montagues and the Capulets. So Mortimer Plumtree comes out and cuts like a theater promo. Do you guys feel okay that James Storm has the same face as Davey Boy Smith?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
I mean, Davey Boy had just passed away, like, weeks before. So Is it him?
Was it a Nicolas Cage face-off situation?
Gotta hope so.
It's possible.
Yeah, we need some familiarity on this program. Who died
recently? If you had to choose a body part of Davy Boy Smith to have, which body part would it be?
Well, not his balls, because those are probably shrunk to nothing.
Right. Yeah.
Probably his... I guess his arms or chest.
His hair. Those braids?
Hair is
you can just have Ed Ferrara's hair.
No. Ed Ferrara's hair is dirty. Bulldog washed his hair. So it's Harrison Storm against the Johnsons. How hard do you think, on a scale of 1 to 10, how hard is Mortimer Plumtree trying to be a wrestling personality?
Oh, God, 150.
Right?
Yes, the maximum.
He just, like, watched a bunch of Jim Cornette tapes and then, like, was like, okay, I'm going to take this character but make him more, like, formal. So then he just watched a bunch of Hunter Q. Robbins tapes.
Yes.
And then we get this amalgamation of shit. I mean, he really is like every – we talked about it before. Like every independent promotion, every territory had this knockoff rich guy or smart guy manager that was kind of a nerd and all this shit.
Right.
And even like today's, oh, he's Harvard educated. Which made me laugh because this is not too long before Chris Nowinski. I think he was right around here. So that kind
of
made me laugh.
Well, he was for sure on there on TV at some point because he was part of Tough Enough, which was before this.
Right, and he had already. I think it was right around here with that. I think it's July actually. It's coming up, that really bad tag match.
Oh, with what's her name?
And Jack.
Miss Jackie.
Jackie Gaeta.
Yeah.
Nowinski.
Haas.
Yeah, it was a Haas and.
Yeah. Fish? Wasn't it? No, it was Haas and Miss Jackie, wasn't it?
Well, that was later, but the tag, this is like, it was Jackie getting in, like, it was like their first appearance. They had him wrestle right after winning, and they had, like, no training, and it's like known as, like, one of the worst matches ever. It's real, real bad. Like, they botched, like, 10 spots. It's awful. It was on some July Raw. I'll try and find it.
Yeah, well, please find the worst match of all time for me to watch.
And then they pull the bolt off, and I think Nowinski doesn't come back till later in the year.
Right. So Storm ends up getting worked over by both Johnsons, and I can't describe this match because there's way too many dick puns if we go through it. But Harris hits a spear out of nowhere, which I thought was a really weak-looking spear. Is he the least appropriate spear of all time?
Least appropriate.
Well, I mean, like Goldberg and Roman Reigns are probably the best spear guys, right? It looks realistic. It looks like it could hurt. Mm-hmm. This one looked like garbage. Is he the worst person to be doing it?
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
Well, they might be worse.
I think Christian. Someone say Christian, maybe.
Someone say yeah, Christian. Someone say Edge. So, all right. So Jackie Gaeta had her first match on June 24th. Trish and Linda Miles beat Molly and Jackie. Oof. But then her second match was a mixed tag on July 8th in Philly. Bradshaw and Trish defeated Chris Nowinski and Jackie Gaeta.
Yeah, that's the battle.
And it's abysmal. It's real bad. She beats her with a bulldog off the top that, like, doesn't even connect. It's if you're looking for a laugh, fire up the July 8th 02 Raw. Get a good guffaw over that.
I don't need to be that angry. So the end of the match comes when one of the Johnsons is holding Harris, but Storm jumps off, drop kicks him, and they get the quick three count. I thought this was a fine fine tag match, nothing fancy, nothing huge. Do you feel comfortable with it, Jenny?
Yeah, I'm fine with this. I like the ending bit where old Plumtree almost gets choke slammed.
Yeah,
it was
Go on.
I was just giving you my thoughts. So if you want to reply to Jenny's comment,
no,
you
I don't.
Go. Okay.
I don't want to sound like a dog.
It's fine.
Yeah. All right. I would say this is a perfectly cromulent match. It existed. A lot of Johnson power offense and double teams in there. Ferrara says Plumtree hasn't talked to his mom in 15 years, which was like an odd piece of character background. I don't know what that's setting up or why we needed it, but. He felt the need to tell us. I thought Storm took a pretty nice beating, and I thought the hot tag for Harris was good. We got a big brawl. Spear was fine, and that was it. So, yeah, it was fun. Harris and Storm are cruising. Like, they're building their resume. you know, Aaron, we kind of know where they head, so it's cool to see their very formative stages to see how they come together. And then you get already, like, we're episode three and another turn. Like, Plumtree rips the Johnsons, and then he gets shoved down. And
he hams it. He hams it up after.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's so bad.
Yeah.
So I went 2.5 stars. It's about as average as
it.
I went 2.75. I thought it was almost good. I also thought he had control of these Johnsons. Didn't he do a whole spiel about how he was in charge of these Johnsons and he could point them where he wanted and stick them where he wanted?
It seemed like he had a real grip on the situation, but it like that.
It just slipped right out of his fingers. Mm-hmm.
That's the tragedy of Mortimer Plumtree right there.
It is.
Both hands on those Johnsons and they slip away.
And it just exploded all over him in the end.
Yeah. Right. A big mess.
So we cut to a Scott Hall promo.
Real flaccid situation there.
It's just the tip of the iceberg. All right, so we go to a Hall promo, Scott Hall promo, and he's being now called wrestling's real outlaw. I'm not sure who the false outlaws are running around.
The ones that claim to be from a new age, maybe?
Perhaps, but they're not even together anymore, so who knows. We get the hey yo, and right away, as soon as he hits that hey yo, out comes stepdad Jeff Jarrett. He's really upset. And the first thing he says is, hey yo, my ass. Which I don't understand. Like, hey yo is not a lie. Like, it's not a lie you'd be like countering. He goes on a bit of a rant. He says, no one wants to see Scott Hall. And then he says, take your ass exactly where you came from, bitch. Avant-garde stuff here, right, from Jeff Jarrett?
Very much so. But, I mean, in his defense, you can put my ass at the end of anything. It sounds like an insult. So,
like that old Jim Ross. You ever see that one? I keep bringing up the shit from this time period, or 05. But the My Ass song on YouTube, have you heard that one?
Yeah, yeah.
I think so, yeah, when it was on. Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's Jeff Jarrett. He's on the Hogan level of being oddly unable to make swearing sound cool. It makes it sound lame. You know what I mean? Like, forced and lame. Like when Hogan said, kick your butt. You know, like, it's along those lines.
Right.
It sounds real awkward and forced when he tries to swear.
Well, he's not a great promo to begin with. He's not bad, but he's not great. Like, he's...
And I agree.
Well, there's always that tinge of fake... There was always that tinge of fakeness, right? That laugh. So I think he struggles with that. He gets cut off right away by the NWA president, who tells him to leave if he doesn't like it. And he does. And then he goes. And then Truth attacks. Who the hell does Truth attack here?
Hall.
That's it. I watched the show a couple weeks ago, and so he Truth attacks Scott Hall from behind, and that's the end of the segment. Terrible attack, right? We don't want that happening to Scott Hall, correct?
No, he pretty much kicks Truth's ass. So.
It failed badly.
Yeah,
it's real bad.
Yeah.
The Hall gets a big reaction, and he's definitely got like a huge star presence on the right. He's probably the biggest at this point. I mean,
he's got to be.
And it's shrewd by them to make him a face. Because the layup probably would have been, okay, NWO, give me all. You know what I mean? Like, to actually use him in the role where he's the best suited for as this top-level face, I thought made a lot of sense. I like where they're going with him. I think he looks awesome. We talked about it both episodes we've done. I don't know what changed from when he left WWE to here over the course of 2 months, but he figured it out enough to look good, look clean, look in shape, and be engaged.
He's wearing this t-shirt that says Geneva Elementary School. And I know of a town called Geneva. And I was like, is that the Geneva I know? So then I ended up Googling it, and then I couldn't find anything. Then I got disappointed. So I'm really, like, interested in why he's wearing this elementary school shirt.
I can't tell you how disappointed I am that story ended when it did, because I wanted you to have lost, like, a whole day.
I had to watch all the goddamn TNA, so I didn't have all the time, but I wanted to.
Well, I will say that based on the Google search, there's only two in the U.S. One is in Geneva, Ohio, and one is in Geneva, Florida.
Yeah.
And Hall is from, I think, the Florida area, so.
Well, does he have any kids?
I was thinking
probably that one.
Kids thing.
Yeah, he's definitely got kids.
It seems odd to wear the name of your kid's school on TV.
But how cool would that be for the kid in the school to be like, look, yeah, not only is my dad on TV, look, he's representing our school. I bet that kid got the shit kicked out of him.
Probably so.
Well, I mean, his son's a wrestler, Cody, right? Cody Hall.
Yeah, but he wasn't then.
No.
You don't know?
That's true. That's true.
You don't know shit, little man.
Don't call me little man. I'm a... All right, so we cut to Goldilocks backstage.
All right, hang on. Cody Hall was born 1991, May. So he would have been 11.
Yeah, perfect.
He was born in Chulota, Florida.
Is it close, and, is it close to Geneva? Distance, Chulula.
Well, now we got to find out. Now we got to find out.
Oh, no.
I love how we've done the research more efficiently than Jenny in the 12 hours she spent on it.
Well, you know.
What a fucking miss. All right. So this looks like to be in Central Florida.
I didn't think to bring his kids into it like you guys.
Well, what else could it be?
I don't know.
That's a pretty deep dive to represent your own elementary school.
Real disappointing.
Representing Mount Bruno on the podcast tonight.
All right, Geneva, Florida versus Chulota is, any guesses?
Ooh, it's going to be something absurd. I'm going to go with 250 miles.
12 miles.
7.3 miles.
Oh, nice. Shit, it is. So that's what it is.
If you hop in the car right now, it'll take about 11 minutes.
Nice. Hey, did you guys know that the principal of my my elementary school was a sex offender?
How would we know that?
I don't know. So Goldilocks is in the back.
Isn't everyone's?
Yeah, Goldilocks in the back, and she just says something has happened. And we cut to Lance, not Lance Storm, James Storm just bleeding out on the ground. And yeah. She turns and says, how did this happen in the NWA? Oh, no, sorry, it was the president. The president says, how did this happen in the NWA? And, like, as someone who's watching a lot of old NWA now, I feel like this president has never watched a single minute of NWA right. footage.
I feel like he's referencing, like, the 1960s right. or something. Like, the interesting thing with the NWA, I feel like when they bring it back for this shit, like, even Cornette and the Dirty F in 98, whenever they rerun it, even in ECW, I feel like they never really talk about, like, the 80s, WC, like, that shit. They always make it seem like the 1960s and 50s and stuff. It's odd. Mm-hmm. They skip, like, the more modern piece of the NWA, which is odd to me.
Well, I think, I mean, I could be wrong, but just, you know, spitballing here, I think it might be because the NWA was, for the most part, was considered second rate in the 80s. Like, I don't think it was in ring. Don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to insult the NWA fans, but, like, when you think of wrestling in the 80s, you think of Hulk Hogan and the WWF.
Right.
Anyway, inferiority complex is all around.
Baron's not happy. He's frantic. He's frantic all over the place.
He's upset. But he's about to be happy because we cut to the ring and we got Anthony Ingram in the ring. And he's going to be facing Monty Brown. Is his nickname Downtown Monty Brown?
Don't believe so.
It should be.
And those hot red pants, they should
yeah,
be.
Yeah, it definitely should be.
I was really excited to see him come out, though.
Me too, because I've actually never seen him except in WWE.
We get some treats coming up. He's really good in TNA.
He immediately yells Tennessee, which is a strange way to introduce himself to the audience.
You think maybe he was just singing the song by Arrested Development, Tennessee?
Tennessee! but he cuts a promo, but they blast his music as he's cutting the promo.
Yes! I was like, turn the goddamn... The music is a problem all night, this whole show. You can barely hear the announcers for half the time because of the damn music. And it's awful.
Yeah, did they not know what a sound check is?
Apparently,
it's my
not.
World. They can do what they want.
Yeah, so I got the impression they were like trying to play him off, like at the Oscars.
Yeah.
He just comes out and smashes this guy and obliterates him. So I mean, good squash. Yeah. What'd you think of the squash, JT?
Yeah, it was great. He looks fucking jacked. Yeah. I mean, she's fired up. Tanay talks up his experience in the NFL and on the Indies. And he calls out Shamrock. He wants the title. And it was all power from him. He's got the presence of charisma is already brimming over. Like, he looks like a stud when you see this man. When he comes out, like, they're like, okay, here's a guy. Now he got something when you pair him up with some of the other big names. So I think, you know, we'll see if he could be one of their early homegrown stars. I want to start a half of the squash. I thought it was that good.
Ooh,
in
that's
presenting.
Good for a squash match for you.
Yeah, that's. It may as well be like a 4-star match for you. So.
two and a half. Have you, Jenny, have you ever associated the term alpha male with tongue ring?
Mm, No, never.
Because that was the only part of his presentation that felt off to me, was the tongue ring.
The tongue ring?
Mm. Yeah.
Would you feel better if he had a scrotal or a penis ring?
Oh, for sure he has a penis ring. What do you mean if? He probably has an anus ring.
That's something.
Well, some people get tongue rings to aid them in cunnilingus. So yeah, that might be that sort of alpha male material.
So wait, they can't perform it, so they need an aid. That makes them an alpha male?
No, it's just they're willing to do whatever it takes to be able to be good at that.
And then to be so unforgettable that you fuck everyone else.
Yes.
Look, I know when a guy's eating my ass, I want him to have a tongue ring.
I mean, can't knock it till you try it, at least.
I'm not.
I just
not,
don't want any cuts.
What, on your ass or on the?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. You don't want an anal fissure of any kind?
No.
Is this the first wrestling podcast you guys have done where the term anal fissure has come up?
Yeah.
Amy Fisher.
I do a lot of wrestling pods with Tim, but still, probably the first time.
Fuck yeah. We're killing it. We're killing it tonight. Yeah. Jenny, what'd you have the match at?
I did a star and a half as well, and most of the commentary really was about the backstage bullshit, locker room right? stuff.
What's going on?
So they didn't spend a whole lot of time talking about Monty Brown, but...
No. Downtown Monty Brown. Impressive debut for us. Good. So we cut to the back, and Goldie's with, like, the schmock squad of, like, security guys, and she's looking for the president. She's trying to find the president, and she stops the hot shots, and they don't know a thing, and I don't think we hear – I don't know if we ever hear from them again. But Psycho Midget is back, and he wants to fight – he wants to fight Gary Coleman. He wants to fight Mini-Me. He wants to fight Beetlejuice. I hope he wants to fight the children's author from Elf. He just wants to fight any of the – he wants to fight – what's his name from Seinfeld? Mickey from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Yes. You don't want to fuck with Mickey. Mickey will fuck him up.
I feel like he just wants to fight any and all midgets, and I use midgets because they use midgets, in any match. However, I wanted to center in on this man's haircut. It's like a reverse mullet. Were either of you enthralled by it?
Again, I think it's very O2. Like, that feels like a 2002 haircut.
Yeah.
Cutting edge. Do you think he would call it the whole Roloff family from Little People Big World? Just burn their ranch down and kill them all?
Yeah, if he had more time, that list was longer. Like, Chris Jericho probably stole the list from Psycho Midget.
How can you not be enthralled by a midget just spouting, I want to see a midget bleed and rabbit? I mean, that's quality television.
So we switch now to Joel Gertner, and we got to get Gertner some better clothes. That's the only criticism I have of him is I feel like he lost a lot of weight and then didn't change the wardrobe at all.
Well, he's been living off that ECW money for years, and that's not much. So he's, you know, probably not exactly rolling.
Yeah, and now we got the Rainbow Express coming down, and the team of Buff Bagwell and Apollo are going to fight the Rainbow Express.
Oh, smooth. Boy.
Yeah, Smooth comes out. We get a sign in the crowd, Judy, the real Bagwell. I feel like they're both real Bagwells, but
by the way, did you get the did we talk about the backstage yet? Or is that coming up here?
Which one?
Goldie's with Bagwell and Apollo. Did you note this one?
All I noted was that Buff calls her Goldie Legs. Which
I think
this
is his accent.
Yeah.
No, Buff talks about all his tag credentials, why he got Apollo. And he says Apollo's number two in the business behind him, which kind of – like Apollo seemed kind of peeved. And then Buff takes a veiled shot at Apollo's accent. So it was kind of delusional Buff stuff.
Now, when you saw this match starting up, Jenny, did you expect a turn coming?
No, I didn't.
I actually thought they were setting up a turn in this match because of the stuff backstage and like it's Buff Bagwell.
Oh, with Apollo. Okay.
Wait, what turn, what did you think I meant?
No, I thought you meant with the Rainbow Express. I was like, no. Oh. They seem real tight.
I was like, are the Rainbow Express going to turn Buff? Are they going to get Buff Bagwell to come?
I assume every match and segment is going to have a turn at this point. You know?
Right.
It's ready for the whole.
Yeah,
Apollo did not look to be quite thrilled.
I like how these themes all – the one common theme besides My World is that the lyrics are all, like, mumbled. Like, they're not actually saying anything. And they just have them real super low, so you can't actually hear what the hell's going on. But
just at this point, I would just like to offer our condolences to the family of Tito Santana.
Yes.
His tragic passing. Mm-hmm. Now, Buff is strutting all around the ring. JT, Buff strut, does it make you mad or sad? Or glad?
Indifferent.
Yeah, that's the worst strut, I think. When it's met with indifference.
When they do come out, though, like, if Buff didn't have the stupid hat and was just, like, Buff, like, Marcus Bagwell, him and Apollo looked pretty good as a team. Like, you know, they could have been kind of a neat power face team.
Yeah,
if you strip away the stupid Buff act at this point, that's completely overkill.
Well, it's like, what, like 4 years past its prime?
Oh, yeah, he started doing Buff in, what, 96? Late 96? I mean, come on. We're good here.
Yeah, it's enough. And so the match gets underway, but as it gets underway, Ryan Shamrock, what the hell's her name here? I always forget.
Alicia Webb?
Alicia.
Alicia comes down, and she gets some cash from Ferreira. I'm sure at some point this is going to mean something, but it's the third week in a row she comes and gets cash from someone, and they're not really addressing it. Match going along's fine. Gertner is so small that I didn't buy him tripping Apollo. There's no way this man can trip this.
Gertner, he definitely feels like someone who went on a crash diet and had awesome success.
Yeah.
But is like gonna put it back on within weeks soon. Like he's gonna get fat again real soon. Like
us on keto.
Yeah. But he went like really like over the top. Like he looks like amazing here compared to his later days in ECW.
But he looks sick because of the clothes. Nothing works. Bruce does the seizure stomps in the corner where he shakes and stomps. I feel like Don West in this one is a little less of a homophobe, but still a homophobe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's still a little grossed out by them. Bagwell and Lenny botch a cross body block, which upset me. Feels like a simple move. You shouldn't be botching that. Apollo comes in and demolishes Bruce. Like, it's basically a hate crime. Like, he just destroys him. Buff blockbuster on Bruce. And then, but out of nowhere, Lenny gives maybe the worst super kick I've ever seen. For the three count. Now, JT, before he did the three count, he was doing some convulsions with his body. What do you think he was trying to do?
I think it was an interpretive dance to give us a premonition of what was to come with Buff Bagwell.
So you're saying it spoke to the overall sorrow of Buff Bagwell?
Yes, you could feel the patheticness of Buff leaking through.
Yeah. So this match, I thought it was okay. Again, it was okay. It was more story than anything else. Mm-hmm. Not the best, not the worst. I went 2.5.
Me too. The sloppy super kick made me laugh, but Apollo got an awesome super kick. Mm-hmm. And I think he is – I really liked the Rainbow Express, but Apollo is just – you want to watch him in the ring. Like, he looks good in this. As sad and pathetic as Buff looked, Apollo looked good.
Would you have wagered that between the two of them, Buff Bagwell would be the male gigolo?
Yeah, because to me they're – and this could have been their gimmick, right? Apollo is the picture in the newspaper, and then Buff is what shows up. Like, that could have been their gimmick.
You've been catfished.
They looked good. Like, the Express barely get any, like, heat segment at all. It's pretty fleeting. We also find out that Miller is missing, the president here.
Right.
And Daddy, we call him Wilson? No, I have him written as Miller here.
Miller is what I have as well.
Yeah, Jim Miller.
Daddy Jim, just to make it.
I had Jim Wilson earlier.
Oh, maybe I said Wilson. I don't know. Jim. Daddy Jim.
It sounded like Wilson, but then they say Miller later.
Yeah.
You know what? I think I picked that up but didn't write it down because I was like, wait, who is it? And then I'm like, fuck it, I got enough notes to take.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so Miller's missing and Ferrar says maybe he found catering, which made me laugh.
Yeah, Ferrar had a couple of good lines tonight. Speaking of Ferrar, he becomes like a hard-hitting reporter and goes to like interview Buff Bagwell and all he says –
Well, hang on. I went 2.75. Let's just get the math out of the way.
Okay, yeah.
It was fine. It was solid. It was the Express are good workers, and like the gimmick with Gertner is pretty good.
Yeah, everything kind of worked in this match, and so Ferrer gets up there, and I think he's going to interview Bagwell, but all he says to him is, "Do you want a microphone?"
Well, he's just sitting there looking sad as fuck. Yeah,
sad
this
as.
This is like the quickest. All right, let's see what happens, and I'll give my thoughts because I think like All right, go ahead. Well, do you want to say what happens?
Well, sure. I mean, well, he's basically like, you're going to call me Marcus now.
Right, I'm not buff no.
I'm not buff no more. I'm going to be Marcus now because nobody gave a shit about me coming back from a broken neck. But they did at the time. It's just they turned you heel right away. And then he goes, I just got beat by two gay guys. And then he quits. So
the whole
I want to go
is
home.
So, it's so stupid. So he's like, I'm a six-time tag champion, and I just got beat by two gay guys. I want to be Marcus forever, and I want to go home. I'm done because Buff ruined my career. He gives Ed the hat, and he leaves.
That's
so
right, he gives
this
that.
Like, and when, Don West basically says he sucked tonight.
Yeah.
Which is fun. So this pissed me off on a couple levels. One, it's like right back to the stupid Russo Ferrara late era WCW shoot. This is a shoot, but that's for, you know, like all that stupid stuff. This is a work. That's a shoot. Blah blah blah. So like that's dumb already. And Buff is like the worst guy to deliver it because he sucks with his delivery. Mm-hmm. So it's like super forced and awkward. And then it just the way they don't telegraph it at all. It just completely comes out of nowhere. And now you can say like, all right, well, he's overcompensating his bravado, but deep down he's really like. But they don't show any hint of that.
It's the
like,
greatest fall. Got a hint. It's the greatest fall, like the fastest fall. He was the number one
it's
in
ridiculous.
The business 10 minutes
yeah.
ago.
It's like losing to the gay guys broke him that much, you know? But why not just say, like, earlier in the interview or a week ago, like, hey, Apollo, let's team up. I'm just questioning myself a little bit. I need to get my mojo back. You know, like, give us something to make us think he's on the verge of breaking besides us losing a throwaway three-minute match.
I like this better.
It's out of nowhere?
Yeah, because he was, like you said, so hyped up and like, I'm number one, Apollo's number two. It's like it was the last, like, dregs of his confidence. You know, like, he really had to hype himself up for that promo and then to just do piss poor in the match. And then he's like, God damn it, that was all I had left and I'm done.
I'm out of here. Here's my hat.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like a built up match. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I feel like if the match meant more, like it's just such a throwaway match in the middle of this forgotten pay-per-view.
But nothing
you just give us. Yeah, it doesn't mean shit. Like, have him get a random, like a title shot or something. Like, give us something that, like, this was his last chance. This just feels like he's breaking over a match that means nothing.
Which is better.
No, it's stupid.
I'm more perturbed that Bagwell thinks this is the only gay guy that's ever beaten him before. I'm for sure we could dig up Canyon beating him on some Nitro or Thunder. So now we cut to Ken Shamrock. Ken Shamrock comes out. He's doing a promo. He's confused is the first thing he says. I don't know why you'd start a promo that way.
I'm very confused.
What?
They start with the what's like immediately and it throws him. Like he doesn't know how to handle it.
So hilarious.
Yeah. He apparently doesn't care about Monty Brown. I mean, how can anyone care about Monty Brown? He's been on the show a total of like 90 seconds. He goes off the guys that he's going to fight. Malice, the Japanese guy, Monty. Which one are you guys most excited to see? Malice, the Japanese guy, or Monty Brown?
Malice.
Monty Brown.
I'll go Japanese guy just to open it up. He's interrupted by Minister James Mitchell, who tells him he needs to fear Malice. Nice little growl. And then Malice just jumps him in the dark. Right away, starts kicking the shit out of him. The schmucks are out to help him up. And Shamrock's neck is hurt, and we're doing an injury angle. Pretty good beatdown, though, for Malice. I enjoyed the beatdown. I could live without the neck injury, though. Where are we at the neck injury?
I was fine with it because we're telling stories, pal.
Telling stories.
No, I mean, they got to set it up for later and put a little doubt into the match. So I didn't mind the injury. It wasn't like it's debilitating. They're not putting him out for good or anything.
Yeah.
Poor Shamrock. He is starting off not well.
No. Yeah. Every show he gets his shit kicked out of him.
Right?
The world's most dangerous man.
It's an odd use of him because WWF did it too. Like, he'd always get busted internally and have the bleeding. Remember, he'd always be spitting up blood and stuff.
Right.
And he always just gets attacked and the shit kicked out of him. But
the world's weakest man.
Well, maybe just presents him as like he could take any beating and still keep coming. I guess that's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to that when we get to the match. Goldilocks down the back looking for Bill Barons, and he's.
By the way, I think there was a Johnson's joke in there with taking a beating and keep coming. But
there definitely was, but Aaron moved on, so
sorry,
I let it go.
Ejaculated all over that one. All right. So Goldilocks in the back looking for Bill Barons, and Bill is on the phone, and someone is making him hold for a ridiculous amount of time. Like, who is making him hold? He's like an important man. And Jerry Lynn comes up and wants to find a tag team partner. Now, does he say here that he wants to – because is it established that we're replacing them at this point?
Yeah, he says to replace Dorman Harris.
Okay.
Yeah, that's been pretty clear.
Okay, good. But that's kind of all we get now, is Jerry Lynn trying to bug him and Bill Barron's on the phone waving him off. Back to the ring, Puppet the Psycho Dwarf, our favorite, right?
Yes.
He grabs the mic and then yells, "Give me the microphone." Which, again, feels weird. He wants midget blood, and he's fighting a midget named Tom Stone. Should Tom Stone have faced legal action for stealing Kane's pantaloons?
Absolutely.
Two things. It's actually Todd Stone. I think Tom Stone's the old jobber from like 1990. WWF. It also just
schmucked.
Circle back to Barons.
We're going back to Barons.
Just for a minute, his overacting is like booty to head level.
Yes. He's waving his arms.
He's talking so fast. He is like 100 miles an hour, like rattling his lines off. Like, dude, like chill a little bit. Like, we don't need you going that fast.
Well, and like the staple of like if you're improvising someone on the phone, you have to give them space like where they would be talking.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, he has no regard for that at all.
Goldie is like the worst interviewer ever. She's like, obviously he's on the phone. He can't talk to you. She keeps bugging him.
Well, and she's seen what he's trying to fix, too.
Yeah. It's just like, calm down, bitch.
He's on the phone with his wife. Like, there's a man severely beaten. They've never seen anything like this in the NWA.
Never.
Fuck off, Jerry Lynn.
Well, I'm in the NWA? What?
Bill Barons and Jerry Lynn might be the worst improv pairing in the world. Anything else you want to talk about Bill Barons before I jump?
No,
I got it all.
Good.
I got it all out.
So Todd Stone, thank you, stole Kane's pants. Todd Stone gets beaten by Puppet. Like, Puppet has no regard for his body or his life. Like, he smashes him with everything. Mm-hmm. He drops him on his neck. Stone's back gets cut. Like, you know it's bad when your back is getting cut in a wrestling match. And Puppet just destroys him with a TKO on the trash can. Look, for a midget match, I really like the violence. I thought there was some really interesting violence here. I went with my standard for this show, apparently 2.5, but I enjoyed watching this.
Me too. 2.5 for me. And I think that a midget obsessed with killing other midgets is a pretty fun gimmick.
Has there ever been a midget serial killer?
I don't know, but I think...
I think the roll-off. It'll be a big roll.
Because he is obsessed with it, and then when he puts the garbage can over his head and starts beating him with the kendo stick, I was like, yeah, this is pretty good. I'm into this. 2.5 stars.
It was fun. The puppet gimmick is really good. Like, I like the self-loathing midget. Basically, just eradicate everyone. It's kind of like a Thanos thing going on, right?
Too many midgets. Yeah.
We're gonna take half of them out.
He attacks the ref and JB.
He does.
Yeah, he kicks the shit out of them after the match for no reason.
And Don West fucking loves
him. Don West.
He is like gushing over him, and then Puppet comes over, and West wants to high five him, and Puppet smacks him with the fucking cane.
So, when Puppet's laying this beating on all these officials, whose music would have been the best to like be blaring for someone to come and save him?
Tito Santana. Or the El Matador version, anyway.
Da, 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 da. The intro's so long, da, da, though. Da,
da. I went 2 stars on this, and that's a fun little midget war there.
Yeah.
Stone's back was just disgusting.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Poor guy.
So Goldilocks is now in the back. Goldilocks is busy tonight, and she's with the EMTs and Ken Shamrock. Mm-hmm. Shamrock tries to get up, and the EMTs just shove him down. This would be a lawsuit, correct?
Likely. And Goldie is like, wants a status. Like, they literally, this just happened. Yeah. Like, how's he doing? What's going on? You know? Like, God, give him a fucking minute to figure it out.
Goldie can't give shit tonight. She is worthless.
From the April O'Neil School of Journalism.
Exactly.
We need to get to the bottom of these turtles. Now we go to a recap of all the Francine stuff from last week. And we're getting Francine coming to the ring. And this song is like a dance version of Motley Crue's Girls, Girls, Girls.
Yes.
Girls, girls. I'm going to say I'm not comfortable. Are you guys comfortable with Francine wearing functional clothing?
What do you mean functional?
Well, that actually holds everything in place and isn't going to burst off at any second.
I'm all right with it.
Again, every now and then, you know, maybe one out of every 10 times so she gets dressed.
Yeah. So she's fighting Taylor Vaughn, and the match is really strange. So right off the bat, Francine takes a belt. It's the ref's belt, I believe. And she whips Taylor Vaughn, but with the buckle part of the belt.
Yeah.
Which had to hurt. She's just beating her with the belt. And then Vaughn gets the belt and hits Francine with it and gets disqualified.
Yeah.
Is this a miscarriage of justice?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is weird, right?
Yeah, why even make it a match? Like, I just would have made it a brawl segment or something. The whipping part was stiff, so that was fine. And I kind of thought Taylor deserved to get screwed because of her hair.
I knew you were going to bring up her hair.
It was awful.
What about her functional outfit? I think it looks pretty fucking hot.
Nah, I couldn't get past the hair.
It's all black. It's real tight. I mean, I thought she looked great.
No.
Better
than like
Francine.
I got to say.
It's too much Captain Marvel vibe for me. I don't like it.
Anybody next to Francine is not going to work for me, I think.
Wow, we found Aaron's type, I guess.
Oh God,
yeah.
We'll talk
trashy.
About that.
Trashy.
Wow. Yeah. Look, I get a lot of wholesome love. All right, I need the trashy love too.
I feel you on that.
Yeah. So Ferrara, I don't know why he thinks this is a good idea, but he gets in the ring with her after it went so well last time. Now, what happens next? I don't understand. Okay, so he's standing there. She puts his hand on her tits.
Yeah.
The announcers act like Ferrara grabs her, and then Francine slaps him. What is going on?
I think she fucked up. I think she was supposed to put his hand, like, on her arm or on her, like, upper chest, and then he was supposed to move it there, and I think she just – I think they fucked up the placement. Because the way they tell the story is, like, Ferrara moved his hand and touched it by accident. Mm-hmm. But she kind of fucked up, I think, putting it there.
Clearly put it directly onto her breast.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would agree with that. That's really the only explanation, unless they're just going with, like, she's trying to somehow discredit Ed, which, I mean, I don't know why she would want to do that. But
how do you discredit him?
He already does that himself pretty well, so.
Yeah.
Or maybe she just felt like getting felt up. I don't know.
Are they fucking?
Why not?
Are they fucking backstage?
Possible. He keeps grabbing her tits.
And she keeps making him grab her tits. Jenny, how much would you pay to use Ferrara for every asshole you've ever met and beat the shit out of him for like an hour?
I would pay $175.
That's very precise. So now we're back to JB. JB's going to interview Hermes Sadler. Sadler brings his whole pit crew out with him to join him on this interview. And right away, K-Crush interrupts, accompanied by the Schmock Squad. And he doesn't want to hear about NASCAR race driving. Whose side are we on here? JT, whose side are you on?
I have no interest in hearing about NASCAR race driving.
Yeah. Me either.
So we're,
I'm on K-Crush's side.
We're firmly in K-Crush's corner, the three of us.
Yes.
But who is tackier, Ed Ferrara or K-Crush with a picture of himself on his shirt?
Ed.
Probably still Ed. Hermes Sadler has had enough, and he spears Truth. And I think Crush. I'm gonna call him Truth.
Yeah.
I think that's a better spear than James Storm's spear or Chris Harris's spear. And Hermes wants a shot at Truth. What's Hermes' ceiling just off this spear? What's his ceiling as a wrestler after seeing this?
Lawrence Taylor.
Red Rooster.
Oof. Well, Red Rooster. It's a hard.
I'm not a Hermes fan. Sorry.
Stark condemnation from Jenny.
Yes.
Hermes' accent sure is something. Is that like a common accent down that way, Jenny?
Of course it is.
It was like super strong.
Yeah.
Well, and he lets us know that he's he's standing up for 500 million NASCAR fans. Okay, that feels high.
500 million.
I mean, yeah.
But also, the United States is like, what, how many people?
300
million?
Right?
Yeah. Everyone, so everyone in the United States plus 200 million more.
Yeah. And a bunch of Chinese people like NASCAR.
We're expanding.
Look, but here's the problem, too. I feel like it's fine to not want NASCAR here. It's a wrestling show.
Right? Yes.
Like,
why are we fucking with this whole NASCAR thing?
Yeah. We're acting like we're fucking, like, thrilled to be graced by his presence. Oh, yeah. NASCAR. Oh, okay.
What the fuck, man?
It's like me kicking in the door of my gym. Not that even makes sense. Like, kicking me in the door of Best Buy and being like, I'm standing up for all the Burger Kings.
Plus, you're Hermie Sadler. You ain't Dale Earnhardt. You know?
Yeah. Now, I will say, how legit does Truth sound here?
Like, he's awesome.
His promos are dialed in, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and he's been a revelation so far. He's been probably the MVP, I think, of these first few weeks.
Well, and it's like, it's such a nice contrast to guys like Jarrett or Buff Bagwell, who sound forced. This guy just sounds real.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Also, whose 17-year-old son is wearing the glasses behind Hermie Sadler? He's got the
brown. Would be, I'm sure he graduated from Geneva.
Geneva.
He brought the shirts and, like, put them on the show. There's no way this 17-year-old has ever seen anything like these dancing girls in the cages. Now we're back. We're on to Mean Mark Malice against Ken Shamrock for the NWA title. Not a lot of fanfare to start the match. The guys just come out and start. Malice hits the Imperial Dragon Stomps to begin. Now, JT, how do you think Minister Mitchell is received in his regular life walking around with that beard?
I'm guessing he hangs around with people that would accept the beard.
Is that like people who think they're vampires?
Yeah, or like a biker crowd, maybe, you know?
I would ask the same question of Ken Shamrock. Honestly.
Yeah, those sideburns are out of control.
Yes. Well, for him, it's more that no one would have the balls to say anything to him.
Oh, sure. Well, apparently he gets his ass kicked everywhere he goes anyway.
In real life.
In real life, nobody would.
I'll fucking fuck you up.
I feel like a bunch of bikers could kick the shit out of him.
Probably. Also, we never got like a word on how he's doing. Like, how is he? We just saw him backstage getting, you know, tended to by the EMTs, but now he's wrestling and looking like shit. So
getting roughed up by EMTs backstage.
Not going well for old Ken tonight.
No, and I'll also say that I think Malice needs to invest in some tights to cover up those leg tattoos, because those are disgusting.
Oh, I like them. I like them.
Really?
Yeah.
Leg tattoos for you? God, so you like the trash too, I think.
A little bit. Touch of it.
From Alabama. I mean, Malice, like, he's like 3 tweaks away from looking legitimate. Like the leg tattoos, a little bit more bulk up top, and the stringy hair, if we get rid of that.
It's like, a lot of changes you're suggesting.
Yeah, well, I think if he just
makes
the
totally
tweak,
different.
Yeah, well, it would. Like, he just kind of looks like a grimy, low rent heel versus, like, I think he could look better. I think he did look better when he was the Wall. Like, when he had the short hair and he was kind of a little bit more bulked up and stuff. So
just like IRS, you like that more?
Yeah, maybe like a mix between the two somewhere. Yeah.
So Malice is all stomps and neck stretches. This is the entire match for him. Mm-hmm. Ferrara declares Malice too smart, which I didn't really understand based on his moves. And especially when there's a moment where Shamrock's outside the ring and Malice has a chain in his hand. And he walks towards Shamrock with the chain. I'm like, oh, he's going to beat him with the chain. But instead he just places it on the apron. But it's not like he had a chain in his hand before. I don't understand where this chain came from.
He was wearing it, I think.
Really? Like, was it like a dog collar? Like,
I think it was a necklace.
Is he one of those people that, like, is like on the weekends is a dog?
I think so, yeah. like the pit bulls 1 and 2.
Yeah. I know a guy who's like the number one dog in America. Am I talking like something you've never heard before, or
I've never heard? No.
Yeah, so like it's this thing called being a puppy and puppy play, and it's like he's the number one dog and he has a master, and he acts like a dog around him, and he's got a collar that the master only has the key to, so he needed special permission to go on the plane with it.
Is this why you were offended by my dog comment?
No, I have no problem with him. Okay. I'm not the homophobe here, all right? You all labeled right. me one on the other show.
It's not.
So what I like about this match is the story is Shamrock. Shamrock's getting – I do like the story of this match. Shamrock getting beat up, but he keeps trying to catch him with a move,
mm-hmm.
which I think is really cool and a good story. Does it feel weird to either of you when you see an injured guy in a wrestling match selling instead of jumping around on his injury?
Yeah, it does feel odd.
Feels like a callback to the old days. So after all the neck stretches and stomps, Shamrock catches a belly-to-belly out of nowhere and pins Malice. And by the end of the match, he's really rocking the COVID-19 haircut. Like it's all puffed out. The sideburns are out of control. I thought this one was okay. I went 2 3/4. Didn't quite do it for me. I think it was because a lot of the offense for Malice was the stomps and the neck stretching. But did that bother you at all, JT?
No. I thought that was fine. And, you know, Malice, I thought was solid on offense enough. And it helps. Shamrock selling helps. He's a mm-hmm. all those beatdowns over the air have
he knows how to sell great selling.
And I like the going for the hold stuff, like you mentioned. He gets the flash ankle lock. Malice gets the ropes. He keeps going for it. But then he just has belly to belly. Which I thought actually protected Malice because he doesn't tap out and it makes it, he just dominated the match. But Shamrock just hit that one quick move and he's like a master level guy and that's it. Like your whole match goes up in smoke. So I thought they did a good job with Shamrock selling with Malice on offense and then protecting both guys in the finish. And I thought Shamrock, the way it's played out, you know, we've kind of busted on him a little bit, but I do think he was a sharp pick to be their first champion because he can work, he can sell, he can talk. Like, you know, he's not elite level in some areas, but he's good enough all around to be a legitimate first champion. So this is a good match. I went 3 stars. I thought they did a nice job working the neck and telling the story.
Yeah, I agree with you. I did 2 3/4 as well. I did like him trying to get those submission moves just kind of desperately. He did a great job at that. So not bad. I'm enjoying it.
This is something I'm kind of noticing rewatching this. Do you guys think, like, or anybody – the MMA people are especially good at selling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of them that have transitioned are kind of top-notch sellers. Would I be wrong in saying that? Like, Shamrock, Lesnar, Rousey.
Yeah.
Like, it must...
Probably just a really good well, pick out of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense. So next week, it's Shamrock and Omori. So we're all hyped up for that. And now we're going to the X Division. X Division time.
Yes.
With David Young with Bobcat versus AJ Styles. They talked to Alex Marvez, who says the 3-way round robin was the best thing on pay-per-view of the year so far.
I'd agree, Bri.
You think that's the best thing on pay-per-view of the year?
No, Hogan Rock.
Yeah,
no. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's at least Hogan Rock. they start to go at it. I love that Styles had his dropkick down even then. Like the way he drop kicks and kind of flips back with it so it looks more impactful. That was not a pun. I really think that's strong. He gets those great arm drags on Young that he used in the John Cena series and then never again for some reason. Young just kind of bumps into him to knock him down, which it was a weird kind of awkward spot. We get a brutal flip over the top rope where AJ Styles smashes his back on the apron. Which I winced at. I was like, oh my god, like that like ended Shawn Michaels' career when it was a casket for a while.
Yes.
Bobcat is on the outside just on the phone the entire time. And Jenny, did you catch the antenna on the phone?
Yes, I did.
Is that the most 2002 thing on this show?
So that cheap. And the leopard print.
So cheap looking too.
Yeah, I'm sure it flipped down too. She got a flip and the antenna.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. That was who was on the phone with old Bill backstage earlier.
She's making Bill Barron's hold.
Yes. Yeah. They're having an affair. So.
Oh, they're fucking?
Yeah, they're fucking.
Fucking. All right. Young pulls out an acai moonsault, which I got to be honest, I was not expecting at all.
No.
I
think he lost whatever was left of his hair all the way down.
It's like when Homer finds out he's having kids and it just falls out. It's on the acai moonsault. They drop Ultimo Dragon's name here. I will say AJ Styles' punches are not quite there yet. He's doing the punch where like he hits you with the side of his wrist. Those need some work. Young gets a really sick suplex into the turnbuckles. Mm-hmm. And Tanay calls a spine buster – just a finishing hold, which I find disappointing. And another thing I find disappointing about the match is Young is making no effort when they start doing these like the roll up pin sequences, like the crucifix, the roll up. Young is making no effort to kick out. He's just lying there and looking at the ref. Like, you should be moving your legs or moving your arms, like something that shows us that you're in the match. And I think as I watched this match, the problem I have with it is I started seeing like the mechanism of the match too much. It felt a bit too choreographed for me. How old would you guess David Young here is by the level of male pattern baldness?
I would say, how old is Louis C.K.? He kind of looks like that.
He's not that old. He looks all right, you know?
I would say like 42.
I thought he did all right.
Yeah, he's 30.
No way.
He's 30 at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. Don West says, I could watch AJ Styles wrestle every single week. That just doesn't feel like that often to even warrant saying that. Great, you're going to. He's on the show every week. They botched the flip into the inverted DDT with Young. I found Young clearly helping him through it. And then they do this spot that I really hate. And I like Styles kicks him four times, like hard, like kicks him hard, and then gives him a knife edge chop, and it's the chop that floors him. That always bothers me when that happens. But they do a really good transition by Young into a spine buster. We get it, and again, they have to drop Arn Anderson's name every time there's a spine buster. It's in the
of course
in the contract. And then Styles ends up finishing it with a top rope, well, from the ropes. Styles clash from the rope, the pin. And a guy with long hair in the front row is absolutely losing his shit. was this the right follow up for the X Division match from last week?
I'm kind of torn. Yes, because you needed like a good, hard-fought AJ win to establish him as champion and what he's going to do. And like Young is beatable. Like, you can't just throw him out to a Loki and say, okay, we're going to have Loki lose again.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
So
like you needed him to fight someone that was kind of like a tomato can level.
Sure.
And it was just never going to be as good, which is fine because this was really just about establishing the division. Which I thought they did fine. I thought AJ, you know, he already has the star look kind of down. Like, his selling is on point.
Yep.
It's impeccable, really, already.
Yes.
Young did slow things down, and he got a lot of time to shine.
Yeah.
They gave him a lot of offense here. And he looked strong in working the neck, but the rest was a little shaky. And then the Super Clash to win it was good. But I was surprised they broke that out already.
Right.
The Super Styles Clash. Like, we should just be winning with the regular Styles Clash at this point. Which is funny. That we thought was such a protected move. And I was shocked when WWE kind of, like, pissed on it. And a lot of fans were. But even early here, he hasn't really been killing guys with it.
That wouldn't even get a two count against John Cena, that Super 1.
Right. So, yeah, it was – and the pop was good. So, yeah, I was surprised again. They went to that early on. but I thought it was a good finish to a solid match. I thought Young – looked fine on offense. He didn't really pop off the page, but he's a good hand. Mm-hmm. And AJ's already showing signs of being a potential, like, all-time level guy. So I went 3.25. I bumped it a little bit because of the finish, which looked good.
Well, I was a little bit lower. I was 3 on it. You know, you talked about it seeming too choreographed, but I never felt that way, and I liked the little touch of Young just pushing AJ. To get him to bounce off the ropes and off the apron to the floor. He didn't really do anything to him. He just kind of shoved him and caught him in a little moment. So I thought he had several good little parts like that, kind of like what they did with Malice and Shamrock. So kind of like, you know, a beatable guy, but somebody who can also, you know, work pretty well. And then AJ just looking like he's dead when he is – slammed into the corner there. He just kind of crumples, like, heels over ears. But AJ looks amazing. Like, I've loved AJ since, like, I started watching wrestling, and all this has just been, like an amazing backstory for me to go back and watch, for me to see, you know, how he became what I know him as. So I like this match a lot.
You liked him from the moment you met him at Geneva Elementary when you guys
I
were
did.
In math class.
I really did.
Looked over, gave you the eye.
I said, I want some.
He said, come get some. So what I meant by choreographed, I think, is I don't like seeing if I can clearly see they're helping each other. I know that's the mechanic, and I know that's what has to happen, but I appreciate more when that's hidden a bit more. I went 2.5 on it. I'm low on it, I know, but I think it's just because the botches kind of bug me a bit more than they bugged you guys. But Bobcat comes in the ring and celebrates as though she's won the match, and AJ just shoves her right down.
Shoved her, yeah, right that was down. Hilarious.
I like the character idea of Bobcat. I don't like the person playing it. I don't think she's any good. Am I a misogynist?
Probably, but it's okay. Because I don't disagree with you.
All right. Goldilocks is now in the back again. Busy night for Goldilocks. I don't think I've ever seen an interviewer being used more on a single show.
And getting zero information.
Yeah. So she's with the Rainbow Express, and they're giving her hair advice, which I love.
Yes.
But she's
so
like
petty.
But she's pissed, and I'm like, don't women usually like the homosexuals? Like, shouldn't she be on their side at this point?
Well, not when they're like, honey, let us show you how to fix your hair. Girls don't like that.
They're trying to help with her hair.
They did it very cattily.
So Gertner comes in and hits on Goldilocks and
talks. Oh, he's so Gertner here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talks about his toys, and there's just too much chest hair for me to be TMZ.
A lot of taco meat.
Yeah. Oh, God. God, he's probably got a really enormous cock, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not since he lost the weight. Maybe a little less. I don't know.
Can you lose weight on your dick?
I don't know.
That's where he held all his weight.
I don't diet because I don't want my dick to get smaller. Why?
Yeah, yeah. But he says he wants to wrestle Goldie, and then he kisses her in the Rainbow
kisses
Express.
Her, yeah, that was.
I think he's great besides the forced sexual assault.
What's the Twitter outrage if this happens in 2020?
TNA would not have lasted past week one in 2020.
No, definitely not.
We've already seen like at least 4 to 5 things that way would have survived.
What I love too is he does it and she laughs it off. And all I wrote was, what a great character.
Right.
Like, nothing affects her. She's mean. She's ineffective. I want to know, JT, why do you think Gertner is bothering with the bottom button of his shirt at this point?
I have nothing for that.
Yeah.
Just to keep him from flying off like a squirrel.
I love, too, that the Rainbow Express is, like, totally put off by the idea of Gertner having sex with Goldilocks.
Yes. Oh, gross. Ugh.
Gross.
And it reminds me, when I worked at a gym, there was this very effeminate man who came in, and almost every time he came in, he'd go on a rant about how disgusting he thought pussy was. He'd be like, it's disgusting, and he'd just go on and on and on and on and on. He's a great guy, though. I really liked him. I did not have sex with him.
Sure.
Do we feel okay with Gertner's licking the camera?
No.
I could have gone without that.
I could have gone without it, right? Back to the ring. We get Styles' music again for like the third time in like 15 minutes, which is 3 times too many. And it's Lynn and Styles against the Rainbow Express for the tag team titles. Do you think they should have spaced this out better?
Have the tag team title main event. Well, yeah. JJ's going to main event, so, and Hall, so, I don't know.
Yeah, he could have maybe flipped it, but I don't know, it kind of makes the tournament feel a little more grueling, and it makes it like AJ, like he had to go back and back like that, so.
Yeah, AJ looks like adds shit. The
I mean, I guess it kind of counters that, like, Lynn didn't have to do anything so far.
Yeah.
He's fresh and Styles is hurt. AJ is so beat up. He comes out beat up, but he still does a twisting plancha, which I was very impressed with. I wrote, I don't like looking at Gertner. Is he dying? I don't want to pile on Gertner, but I feel bad. Jerry Lynn at the one point feigns a Bronco Buster, but then he just stomps the guy in the corner. I don't know if he was trying to play off X-Pac there. Then Lynn rams Bruce into Lenny's crotch a bunch of times, which I think is really great. And they do the hand kiss, like as the tag. And West is just outraged; he's just so angry. One of the things I really like about this match is I like the idea that like because Styles is hurt, Lynn is Lynn is taking the brunt of the action. Mm-hmm. And this plays into something we're going to see later on, which I think is really kind of cool. And I don't know if they did it on purpose, but it works. West goes on to talk about AJ Styles. He says he's Superman, Batman, and Spider-Man all rolled into one. Which, if you're Superman, you don't need the other two.
Like, no.
He can just do
it. Well, anything. I mean, if you're all three of those, aren't you basically Captain Marvel again? I mean, that's how it's
You're also Rey from Star Wars at that point, if you're all those three.
Just add in, what's her name, Taylor Vaughn. You're Superman, Batman, and Spider-Man, and Taylor Vaughn all rolled into one.
You're Captain Marvel. Bruce hits a low blow. Lenny tags in, and I love they do the Tiger Tamer. I love the detail work of the Rainbow Express. It's like, it's so good. Styles comes in with a stiff clothesline to bring it up. Big suplex on Lynn. Lane does the seductive cover, which I love. Mm-hmm. And now, here's a spot I have to draw attention to. So, Bruce does this, like, great dive into, like, a sunset flip. And as he's trying to pull him over, he's, like, jerking his crotch up. Like, which, I laughed because I thought it was, again, another thing down. But Jerry Lynn kind of sits on it, like... The crowd gets uncomfortable when he's jerking, right? But I'm fine. I'm fine with the jerking. I'm always fine with the jerking. Lynn sits on his face. But then Lynn remembers he's gay and protects his balls, which gets him rolled up. Now, who is the assaulter here and who is the assaultee? Because Lynn should be jailed for a forced blowjob here, right?
Well, I mean, he's got pants on, so...
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see any deep dive there.
But then why is he so worried?
I don't know. I don't know why any wrestler is so worried to wrestle these guys, because it's just like wrestling any other dude, because y'all all... It all looks homoerotic, so, like, what the fuck is the problem?
Hey, you're already rolling around in oil with other men with no shirts and Speedos.
Get over yourself. I really like that blowjob spot that he did in the corner. That shit was funny.
Yeah, that was awesome. Bruce gets a neck scissors and thrusts. Mm-hmm. And I look, honestly, if I was gay, I'd do that to a homophobe also. Like, fuck you. Styles gets a hot tag, which awesome explosive offense. And then Lane comes in and hits the skull crushing finale on Styles. Were you guys aware that Miz stole this from Lenny fucking Lane?
I actually think Lenny Lane stole it from Head Shrinker Samu, or they used to kind of both do it. Remember back in the day?
Oh yeah, I wonder who they stole it from.
Someone in the wilds of Samoa, since they're savage animals that don't actually, I don't know, have no awareness of anything else. You know.
Well, they are savages. And then so Styles does his 1,000 flips from the top rope for the pin, and we hear his song for the fourth time tonight. Let's talk about the match first. I thought it was a nice fitting end to the tag title tournament. I liked the match. Thought it was good. A solid match. I went 3 stars. Probably could have been better, but considering it was the second match for the Rainbow Express and a beat up AJ Styles, I thought they did a good job.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jenny.
Go for it. No, go ahead.
I liked it a lot. I went 3.5. I thought Lynn's selling was awesome. It was really, really good. I thought the finish was excellent. And I think it, you know, plays into maybe where we're headed. But I like the whole story throughout the match. Lynn is carrying the load, AJ's in pain on the apron, and they're really planting those seeds to say it's not really a fair assessment, because AJ did wrestle that match before. He should be tired. But it still seems to be aggravating Lynn that he picked him,
right?
And he's not fully there. So it's like kind of making Lynn seem irrational, but you also kind of understand, I guess, if AJ's saying he's good and then you come by here and you're not really, you get that. So I thought this really well worked. I thought Rainbow Express are really showing, like, they can work. They're not just, like, a gimmick team. So I thought they showed well here. Like, they're looking pretty good, actually, these first few weeks. So I really like the match. I love the finish. And I like the story throughout that potentially sets the seeds for later on.
Yeah, I agree with all that. Rainbow Express is, like, really high up there on my favorites of the promotion thus far. I kind of wanted them to win, but then this match began my love affair with Jerry Lynn.
Oh.
All kayfabe, of course, but I thought he looked amazing. Like, I was really impressed with what we saw on the last episode with him as well, So maybe that was really the start, and this just continued it, because I wish we had maybe a segment to be like, how do they come together as tag partners? Like, get us a basis of their relationship thus far before this match, maybe? Because we never really saw, how they
got
together.
Like a highlight backstage with the song Come Together playing.
Right.
Yeah. Something. But they are also able to, like you said, tell the story about how Lynn is carrying the load, AJ's tired, and then that sets up a little bit of a weird vibe between them. So all that comes across very well. And then all the wrestling is really good, amazing stuff to watch. And the ref reminds me of Keegan-Michael Key.
He's got a good deadpan going.
Yeah, he's very reactive to what the wrestlers are doing, and dancing around them and trying to be real quick, and he's very expressive.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I enjoyed him during this match as well. I gave it 3.25.
Nice. Good match. What I wanted to ask, though, because there's so few actual tag teams in the division at this point, was this the right move to center the tag division around two singles guys, one of which is already another champion?
See, I wondered about that too. I was like, okay, what are we doing with AJ here? Why is he getting a tag belt as well? And they're not even a real team like the Rainbow Express is. So I was confused. I don't know.
You got the Rainbow Express. You got at least Rainbow Express, America's Most Wanted, the Flying Elvises, and the Penises, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
and the Dups.
And the Dups. And that's right. And the Dups. So you got five actual teams. I'm curious,
I'm all right with it. I'm all right with it because they were thrown together. They only won one match. It's not like they ran through the division. And the Rainbow Express really hung in there. It's not like they got squashed. They looked like they could hang. And AJ and Lynn have been presented as, really high-level singles guys. So it's not like they were low-level guys coming in to beat them. So I don't mind it. And I think it'll be okay for the tag titles to, be on guys this strong and be seen in this angle. Plus, it's going to further what looks to be maybe one of the best angles they got going on now with between Lynn and AJ. So the tag belts will be involved. So I'm fine with it. It's not like they have these great teams that they're crushing. It's kind of a slow build through it.
See, I think the Rainbow Express would have been interesting to build around. I mean, obviously it's hindsight, just because they're so hateable in this venue.
Right.
And so the matches will immediately have heat. And then you have instead of leaning on AJ and Lynn, who are already over, to do two segments, then you have two separate segments with two different acts that are over. But I don't hate it. I don't hate it or anything. It's just – I just think it was odd considering there are actual teams. It's not like the
– Yeah, but I just think they need the belts for where they're going. That's all.
Yeah.
And I think it's okay to sacrifice in this early. It's not like – again, it's not like they're whipping on established teams or anything like that. So I think it's fine to start this way.
Right. So we cut to the back now, and the security is running wild. President Jim Miller – has been hogtied with the words "fu" written on his stomach. Now Goldilocks says
giant stuff.
Giant, it's giant, so it's giant letters. Goldilocks says she doesn't know where to go from here. Jenny, do you think it occurred to her to perhaps untie him? Would that
she's
have been
not gonna get? She's or not gonna soil herself with this slob.
I could say go in a totally different direction. But I would probably be the only one to say that.
Greatest day of Big Daddy Jim's life.
Yeah, right? You know, just while you're here.
I can't believe he didn't have a heart attack during all this.
Right? He looked fucked up, man.
Well, he's doing that muffled scream. that muffled scream. This is going to lead somewhere. So now we get a recap of Brian Christopher fiddling with his goggles from the last week against K-Crush and Jarrett and Hall trying to turn back time. And at this point, I'm just dreading hearing the My World music. I know it's coming. I don't want it. I don't want it coming. Dancing R-Truth is out. He's doing a dance. I would think he would want to get away from the dancing with this character. at this point. Jarrett is still billed from Music City for some reason. Again, I think he'd want to get away from that. So Jarrett's dancing. Jarrett's kind of strutting and walking. Truth is dancing. Christopher comes out. Why is everybody dancing to the ring in this match?
I don't know.
It's main event time. Scott Hall and Brian Christopher against Jeff Jarrett and K-Crush. And it goes right into the crowd. Jenny, were you surprised that Hall immediately went to the stripper cage?
Definitely not. I was hoping he would.
Made sense, right?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Now, were you as confused as I was when Hall, for some reason, put himself into the cage?
No, that seems right as well.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a little disappointed he didn't begin to dance in the cage.
I was going to say, we should have had a dancing little spot there. Everybody else is fucking dancing. Why not?
Yeah. West is like, his hyperbole about Hall and Christopher putting on a show is just out of control because they're just walking around the crowd, like doing the walk and punch.
Nothing.
Christopher at one point grabs has the goggles on his head. He takes them off to show the crowd, climbs up the ropes, puts them back on, and Tanay loses it. Like, the goggles, it's the most passionate he's been all night. But then he misses the leg drop. JT, is this the best spot of the night?
It's up there if it's not the best.
All I wrote was good. Like, I felt like he deserved to, like, break his coccyx. And, like, I felt so torn on this match because I hate Jarrett and Christopher, but I really like Hall and Kid Crush. Like, why couldn't they be a team? And then it hit me. Scott Hall was teaming with Kevin Nash and Hulk Hogan 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he's teaming with Brian Christopher. Is that the biggest fall from grace from Hulk
Hogan? He looks so much better here, which is crazy.
I know. But, like, he's standing next to Hulk Hogan 2 months later. He's with Jerry Lawler's son.
That's awful.
Hall takes control with his good stuff. But then he knocks Brian off the apron. And then he takes a pretty good-looking missile dropkick from K-Crush. And then K-Crush just kind of weird jumps on Hall's back. What do you think he was trying to do here?
Probably
choke him.
Yeah, force him to the ground.
Force him.
He's a big old tall motherfucker.
Hog tie him right after you on
him.
Yeah,
there you go.
Hall and Jarrett come in. They do their thing. Christopher keeps missing tags. Hall is just fighting everyone now. And the ending is just a mess, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's all the business with Christopher and does he get hit here? He gets hit here, right? Bumped into.
He gets knocked off the apron, and then like Hall keeps going to tag, and he's not there to tag. Kind of the old Strike Force thing, right?
Right.
But instead of the opposite, where, you know, well, I know, yeah, it's the Strike Force thing, basically. So Christopher just gets annoyed and won't tag. So Hall cleans house on his own, and then he just turns around and smacks Christopher for not tagging him.
Yeah, but then he gets hit with the hip hop drop, and Jarrett pins him. And we got to hear the goddamn music again. You know, this is your typical. For me, it felt like your typical end of Raw main event.
Yeah.
I went 2.5 stars.
I went with the cursory, forever and ever Scott Hall Jeff Jarrett memorial 2.75.
They're not dead.
Then this would be like a 2.75 matchup. I thought it made sense to turn Christopher heel. He's so easy to hate. We've hated on him for 3 weeks. It kind of buoys Jarrett's new stable that seems to be building here. And it was a fine way to do it. You know, we'll see who helps Hall, who steps up. And again, it was a perfectly fine, like you said, end of Raw tag match with the veterans, a TV tag match. Basic it to the point. K-Crush, or whatever, yeah, K-Crush. A great heat machine, like, in this setting. Like, he's really playing it up. I mean, he's, like, and put him with Jarrett, who's easily hateable, makes sense, too. But he is, like, on fire right here and in the ring too. Just everything is like dripping with heat for him.
I think the difference is that he feels fresh, whereas Jarrett feels played out.
And he feels real too. Yeah.
Yeah, where Jarrett feels fake.
Yeah, I like this pretty well. It wasn't amazing. I gave it 2.75, but I thought Hall looked really good, especially when he was. Well, I was hoping for a little bit of ECW action where, you know, crowd brawling, but it didn't really get wild. It was just basically a tour through the crowd and then stopping off at the stripper cage. But I liked Hall a lot in this, and I'm glad that BC turned because like, ugh, no, we don't. Let's just hate him, okay? Like, mm-hmm. I'm not trying to like him at all. And of course, I knew Jeff Jarrett was gonna win, so that wasn't a surprise at all. Not too bad, but not the best of the night.
So Jarrett, like, beats the shit out of Hall post-match, like, breaks the trophy on him, and then starts saying how he runs him out, he's going to run him out of the promotion. Do they stretcher Hall here?
Yeah. No.
They do, right?
Well, the post-match. So Jarrett grabs a mic, he's talking shit.
Yeah.
He says, Hall ain't worth the shit. Yeah. He beat his ass in 95 and 97.
That's
ran him out of WCW, ran him out of the WF. Now he's going to run him out of the NWA. So that was a good promo, kind of reminds us of the history. Jarrett slugs Hall to the floor, says he's worthless like all the other legends, and then he smashes that TNA trophy.
Yes.
And that was an ugly spot. He really bashed him with it.
That was rough.
He keeps ranting. Hall gets on the stretcher. Jarrett leaps off the apron with an elbow onto the stretcher. He says he got screwed on night one. It won't happen ever again. Jarrett goes back out, dumps Hall off the stretcher, and then he rants some more, and he kicks Hall around, dumps the stretcher on him. I think it's a funny segment where he's ranting while fucking with Hall. I'm always a good fan. I think I've mentioned this before, of stretcher attacks. So I like when guys get beat up all on the stretcher. And it's good, like, delusional heel stuff. Like, this felt better than Buff's nonsense earlier. So I thought it was a good, solid close to add some heat to next week and set us up.
You ain't worth the shit,
little man.
Yeah, solid ending. I just wish it wasn't Jeff Jarrett doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
I wish it was Truth doing it instead. Oh, sorry, Crush. Mm. I'm going to call him Truth. So that brings us – that takes us out of TNA pay-per-view number 3. Go on.
Yep. That's all I said.
Oh,
yep.
So as we do every episode, we're going to talk about all the things that happened.
Yep.
JT, you're going to count. I'm going to go through it. Okay. I don't know how – this one didn't feel too Crash TV, but we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
So we got a guy wearing all the gear in the world, a president giving a trophy – announcement of surprise, penises, promo interruption, mysterious backstage beating, midgets, a guy changing his name, a guy quitting, a promo interrupted and then a beatdown, a guy being tended to by EMTs, self-inflicted sexual assault, NASCAR brawl, girl in a cheetah suit using an old phone, AJ Styles beating up women, sexual assault, surprise tag team partners, AJ Styles beating up homosexuals, Jerry Lynn sexually assaulting Bruce, mysterious backstage hog tying, dancing, ending brawl, a big heel turn, and a mysterious trophy beating.
27.
Whoa. That's the most so far, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did feel a little more spread out.
Yeah. But then when you think of all the stories.
Still, it's a lot.
Yeah.
They're
just running these stories like back to back to back to back to back to back to back, right? Mm-hmm.
This one felt a little more threaded, though, with the tournament stuff, the tag replacement. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt like they, you know, the trophy, like, the Miller stuff. So, it felt like they told some nice through lines for the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was a solid episode. I didn't love the in-ring stuff. I thought it was a bit botchy, but, like, it wasn't a chore to sit through. I do find the Jarrett stuff a bit of a chore to sit through. That's the only thing.
Right. But I think part of that is the predisposed not dislike of Jarrett.
Yeah.
Right.
Like you said, if anyone else is in that role, you probably like it a lot more.
Well, if truth, K Crush, right? But there's no way they're going to build around him in this promotion. It's not his dad that owns it. I didn't have a lot of copycats. The only guy I had was a fat guy in the front row is a low rent Brock Lesnar guy. That's all I got.
We get to count guys in the audience now for copycat?
That's how far I had to go for the copycat.
All right. Well, I mean, I feel like the Conrad Thompson analogy for Daddy Jim's pretty good.
So we're assuming that someone in TNA had a time machine and is copying these things.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
That's exactly it.
JT, what do you want to see more of?
I want to see more of Big Jim Miller.
Big really. Jim Miller.
Monty Brown and Joel Gertner.
What do you want to see Gertner do?
Cut promos. I think he's pretty good.
All right. Jenny, what do you want to see more of?
I want to see more of the Rainbow Express, AJ Styles, Jerry Lynn, of course, and Apollo.
I put the Rainbow Express also because I think their act is so good and they can go, which is cool. And I want to see more Kid Crush. Mm-hmm. He's just killing it. What do you want to see less of, Jenny?
I would like to see less of Hermie and any NASCAR related nonsense, and Buff Bagwell.
JT.
Very similar. I want to hear less of Hermie's accent, and I want less of Buff Bagwell's lame ass shooting.
I want Brian Christopher and his dancing to go away. Look, I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but his dancing can die in a fire. Wild card. Who's got a wild card for me?
Midgets.
Ooh, midgets.
Puppets.
Yes.
Amazing. Yes.
Yeah, Puppet's pretty great. I wasn't sold on the first time, but I like this. I like this stuff in here. What would 2002 Jenny think of the, what like on this show?
What would probably the boob grab, intentional boob grab.
Mm. JT.
I would have said Monty Brown's gonna be a huge star. Holy shit! And I would have said fuck the what chance.
Mm. Mm.
I would have just if she's on the show, it's Francine. Like 2020 me still is in love with her. You know why? It's because when I tuned in ECW for the first time, it was like you go from like Sable and Sunny that are like, I don't know how to describe them in a nice way, but like
basic.
It may be a bit promiscuous. And then Francine felt like a whore. And like I it was the hottest thing in the world for me when I was like 19 years old.
You like whores is what you're saying.
Well,
own it.
Not
own
all
it.
Of them. This particular one.
Oh, okay. Sure.
This particular one. Okay, so what does our tracker look like? We're still doing our top 10, right?
Yeah, well, do you want to do debuts first?
Oh, yeah, of course. Sorry.
And also, I did have one other copycat I meant to mention earlier. It was Apollo's knockoff theme, Smooth. Copycat. So not too many appearances this time. We had Jim Miller Wilson. We had Monty Brown, Anthony Ingram, Todd Stone, and Hermie Sandler's pick crew. So there you go.
Hermie Sandler's son, dude.
Oh, he's part of the pick crew.
Yeah.
All right, so here is our top 10 after episode 2. AJ Styles at number 1, Jerry Lynn, Low Key, K Crush, Scott Hall, Rainbow Express, Apollo, Shamrock, Psicosis, and Harrison Storm. So I think we're all okay leaving AJ at number 1, I'm guessing?
Yes.
And Jerry Lynn at number 2.
Yes.
Sure.
Do we want to move K Crush to number 3 over
yes.
Low Key?
Yes.
All right. Do we want to look on this list?
What about K Crush higher? Like, I know he's not carrying it in the matches, but he's like the most interesting. I think he's the most interesting character on the show.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm kind of okay where we're at right now.
That's fine. I just wanted to bring it up.
Okay. Do we want to keep Low Key on the list?
Not for this episode.
No.
Well, this is overall.
Overall. Maybe overall. He's near the bottom.
Okay. Yeah.
I think he's going to stay on because we liked him a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scott Hall at number 5. Up, down, off. Where do we want him?
Keep him on, but maybe put the next one ahead of him.
So Rainbow Express go ahead of him?
Yeah, what do you think?
Do we want Rainbow Express 4th, or do we have someone else higher than them?
I think he'd probably be 4th. I can't think of anybody ahead of them.
No, okay. I'm good with it.
All right. We had Apollo. I think Psicosis can probably go.
Yeah.
So we'd have to probably add someone in his stead. A puppet?
Francine?
Malice?
She's the crux of the division.
Oh, Monty Brown? I'm fine taking off Harrison Storm.
They didn't do anything last week.
Yeah, let's keep them all.
I'm fine also adding Puppet and Monty Brown at 9.
Well, what about Shamrock?
He's already there. He's going to make the list.
Okay.
Look, I don't want to add Puppet and Monty Brown. I want to add Francine.
All right.
Add one. Choose one.
We need a lady on the list. I agree.
All right, so Francine's going to be a 10.
That's fine.
Okay.
We can go Puppet because Monty's only been on for like a minute and a half. So
there
far.
You go.
All right, do we want to keep Apollo Shamrock at 8, at 7, 8?
Well, Shamrock should probably move up a bit. He's all over the show, so maybe he's behind Rainbow Express?
I'd put Hall. I think Hall's more over.
Okay.
Right.
That's fair.
Apollo can go down.
Well,
I'd put Loki above Apollo.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
All right, so our top 10, AJ Styles, Jerry Lynn, K-Crush, Rainbow Express, Scott Hall, Ken Shamrock, Loki, Apollo, Puppet, Francine.
All right.
What a list.
Pretty good.
Yeah. All
right, so what do we do? We can do a best moment Or best segment?
Yep, best segment.
I went Jarrett's post-match attack.
I went with Daddy Jim being hogtied.
I went with R-Truth coming out and shitting on NASCAR.
Okay, and worst segment, I went with Buff Bagwell's fucking nonsense.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll go with that, too. What would you pay for this show, JT?
Well, no, we changed it, remember? What is it worth? Was it worth it?
Was it worth it? Sorry.
It would be worth the $10, yes.
Yeah, I agree.
I disagree.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I don't think anything was, like, overly better than what you would get on Raw.
Yeah.
That you get for free.
I guess
but
that
midgets,
is...
But midgets, been. Though.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been upset if I paid $10, that's all.
I wouldn't have been upset. I would have been okay, but yeah, I think it's maybe the weakest of the shows we've seen so far.
Right.
But I think it's just because it's missing that big match.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. So I mean, I went 6 out of 10, which is in line with, you know, one of the others. So.
Yeah, me too.
I went 4.
Okay. Ooh.
4.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, I thought like a lot of like you guys have a lot of the matches rated higher than me, right?
Right.
Like I went 2.5 on the Styles.
Right.
Young match, and I'm generally lower on everything, so it makes sense for me. Jenny, tell us what you got going on in your life. What do you want to plug?
I would like to plug an episode of I've been doing so many shit. What the fuck have I been doing? Oh, there's an episode of Bianca's First Time coming out soon. We watched Dirty Dancing, and that was her first viewing of it, and it was wonderful. We had the time of our life watching that movie. And you know, honestly, there's just stuff going on all the time on there, and also on the PlayStation Wrestling feed. So check that out, and my Twitter at Jenny Position.
JT, you want to go through the North South stuff?
Yeah, we can. Of course, you get this show, plus a whole bunch of others. We have stuff 5 days a week. On Mondays, Aaron, we alternate every other week with your stuff. The year that was, we were going through all the WWF pay-per-view years. Alternate with From Montreal to Memphis, where you and Reg break down a different random topic twice a month and have a good conversation. This show, of course, is on Tuesdays, alternating with Ruthlessly Aggressive Podcast. Both are living in 2002, so we're really kind of diving into that year across the spectrum. Wednesdays with Chad, we did get an episode of Carolina Dreamin', looking at some GWCW nominees from 80s Jim Crockett, and Fighting Spirit of 06, where Chad's working his way through 2006 across North American wrestling. In the 90s, you go back, I'm sorry, on Thursdays, you go back to the 90s, with either episode of Wrestling Warzone, which we just had a great installment of. Chad and I dove really deep into WrestleMania 12. It was, I think, our best podcast ever that him and I have done. And on opposite Thursdays, Jenny, it's me, you, and D'Amato going through Extreme Three-Way Dance. We're into the spring of 95 in the history of ECW. And Saturdays, Aaron, usually me and you on No Holds Barred, doing all kinds of random stuff. We just kicked off our SummerSlam Greatest Main Event Tournament. That's on my Twitter, JT the Pod Guy, going on right now. And occasionally you get a Jeff Lynn wrestling as well. So facebook.com/NorthSouthConnection. And just subscribe and leave us some feedback and rating. And, you know, the feed is growing. We really appreciate everyone who's signed up and downloaded the shows and has also spread the word.
Yeah, it's been really great talking to a lot of people too about the content and whatnot. So, final thoughts, NWA TNA number 3.
Go ahead, Jenny.
It was good. It was wild and hungry for more. What can I say?
Yeah, I think it's been enjoyable still. I'm still liking the variance and the difference. And I'm ready to continue.
Yeah, solid show. All right. Well, I'm Aaron, JT, Jenny. Thanks for joining us. TNA never dies, and neither did Tito Santana.